Christ as the world turns upside down. 1 minute our life is moving along smoothly, and the next, it jumps off the tracks. 1 minute that Amtrak train hurtled toward Washington from Philadelphia, and the next it missed a curve. 1 minute a Russian plane took off from the Sinai airport, next it crashed, all aboard lost. Rabbi Harold Kushner penned, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" He asked the question that comes through all of our minds as we face crises. Why does God permit tragedy, atrocities? And people expect an answer from their religious faith. One answer is that evil, sickness, and death don't exist. Bad things are simply an illusion. From Socrates to Shirley MacLaine's New Agers, the word is, nothing evil can ever befall a good person. In some ways, that's a healthy philosophy, because it lets you remain the master of your life, the self. In other ways, it's incomplete. Loss and pain are not figments of our imagination. The other night on Blue Blood, I like to watch Blue Blood. The other night on Blue Blood, Jimmy had gotten himself in a jam, and he was innocent. He came complaining to Dad, and the New York City police commissioners told him, life isn't fair, get over it. Well, there's that daily dose of ghastly images of the Middle Eastern refugees, the 24th nation, struggling to reach freedom in Europe. Another answer is that bad things have a way of working for good, and we turn to Scripture and we find that story of Joseph. Remember, he had his dream of greatness, and his brothers didn't like that dream. They sold him off to a caravan heading to Egypt. He ends up in the house of Pharaoh. Then there's that famous scene where he meets his brothers. And he says, God sent me before you to preserve a remnant on earth. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. Have no fear. Well, unlike MacLaine, we experience pain. It can make us more sensitive and caring for the pain of others. We can learn through adversity, but it still is an incomplete answer. Suffering may surely build character, but it also produces violence and abuse. In the reality of life, unlike TV, every story doesn't have a happy ending. From the killing fields of Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, to the streets of Detroit. There's a third answer. It's a belief in the system of a future reward. And the first one that comes to mind is the most popular for the ISIS followers. Martyrdom brings you 76 virgins in heaven. Now, life is unfair now, but human suffering will be rewarded in heaven. Well, that answer has some appeal. Life isn't fair. Virtue and integrity have built-in rewards here and now, trust and confidence of friends, peace of mind. But we do not know whether there will be a heavenly reward or not. One of my favorite characters was Calvin and Hobbes. You remember Calvin and Hobbes? Well, Calvin is saying to Hobbes, the world is a complicated place, Hobbes. And Hobbes is laying on a branch and he's saying, whenever it seems that way to me, I take a nap in a tree and wait for dinner. In Mark's gospel, Jesus has come to town. And as he's passing through this great crowd, he feels somebody tagging, tugging on his tassels, the tassels of the prayer shawl. A woman in the crowd had suffered all her life from bleeding. She tried all the 11 treatments that are registered for them in the Talmud, every way she could think of to treat her illness, and all had failed her. So here this woman, an outcast, forbidden by law from ever touching a holy person, did exactly that, touched Jesus' garment. Her bleeding stopped. Her body was now free from suffering. And Jesus turned to her and said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. Shalom, be whole. Receive salvation is what that means. These are the clues which for Christians have provided the meaning and the answer regarding pain and suffering and evil. Yes, Job, you will experience those things in this world, but God hears the cries of his people. us God's response. God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, that the world might believe, have light and life instead of death and darkness. Jesus prayed in the garden with sweat beads of blood, beaten, crucified, died, buried. But the good news we carry is he lives. Mark describes this response of faith. We fall on our knees. We tell the whole truth of our lives. Sinners that need to be made whole, shalom. And then we cry, Lord, help our unbelief. Today we observe All Saints' Day. Despite the thousands that have been here over the weekend, most have survived, the ghouls and the goblins and the walking dead, and also the demons. Yes, there are demons. And the Pope assures us there's a devil. The eve of the hallowed day when we celebrate the communion of saints has now been overshadowed by darkness, fear, and fright. It is competing with Christmas as the most expensive day. The doctrine of the communion of saints is a concept that all God's people on earth, in heaven, are spiritually connected, are spiritually united. The saints intercede on our behalf. Oh, they aren't divine and floating around on our shoulders. They're not omnipresent or omniscient. But it's through our prayers that we are joined with that heavenly community of Christians. Scripture tells us that community looks forward to the redemption of all God's people. A new heaven, a new earth, just as Isaiah described it. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for people a feast of rich food. A feast of well-aged wines. Destroy the shroud that covers the peoples. He will swallow up death forever. John on Patmos, his vision was clear. You see, the home of God is with God's people. And he himself will be with them and wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Never again shall there be mourning and crying and pain, for those first things have passed away. God is with us today. He hasn't forgotten those who suffer. God is victorious over the demons of the devil. God has not forgotten those whom he has loved and now miss. We remember them. For death is not a last word. As followers of the God of the resurrection, we meet the grave singing, Alleluia, Alleluia, Amen. Let it be so. Today we roll away those gravestones yet again because he lives. And because he lives, we shall live also eternally. Well, how do we know this? How do we remember? We have God's story. That's what it's about. Through the Exodus deliverance, there it was that the Israelites learned God is merciful. Through the exile, God is holy. Through the return from the exile, God is a God of hope. In Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the fulfillment of that hope, we would see Jesus. The table is set, my friends. The Lord's table, bringing to memory the proclamation of the gospel. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he come. On tablets and tables across this world are etched the words, do this in remembrance of me. We remember what Jesus has done and suffered for us. We accept the benefits of Christ. This is my body broken for you, a sinner. We remember not someone who is dead, but someone who is glorious alive. For it is here we meet face to face, for memory becomes experience and encounter. You see, the presence in the sacrament comes as memory, realization, acceptance, and it ends in encounter, sacramental, renewed dedication. For the center of our faith is what Jesus did. The Lord's Supper is a drama. It pictures it for us. Can you eat the bread? Can you drink the cup? This is not selfless love, a surrender to God. We drink the cup that Jesus drank, a symbol of the love between Father and Son, the intimacy that Jesus gave to us. What is the name for the intimacy? It's called the Holy Spirit. Yes, Virginia, there is a heaven. As Abraham breathed his last in dying good old age, he was gathered to his people. God wrote, "Beloved, we are God's children. Now what we shall be, he has not yet revealed. What we do know is this. When Jesus is revealed, we will be like him. We will see him as he is." Paul described it in the Corinthians. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a physical body, raised a spiritual body. The major feature of All Saints' Day is that it honors our Christian predecessors, not just a dead in Christ idea, but in the strong confidence that they are alive with Jesus Christ today, forever, and they're cheering us on as we run our race for life. As Hebrews put it, let us run with perseverance that race that is set before us. My friends, we are before God's throne now. Even so, it is well with our souls forever. And so we can sing.